Good morning and welcome to everyone to Kelvin Church this morning. Glad you could be here. We also welcome those out in our streaming audience and hope they enjoy our service this morning. A couple of announcements concerning our members. Glenda Hoffland is scheduled for a bronc on this Monday and Tuesday in Council Bluffs, so keep her in your prayers. I talked to Cindy DeVos last night. She seemed fairly upbeat. I've been trying to keep contact with her a little bit, but she sounded good last night, and she wanted me to express to the congregation her thanks for the texts and the notes, the calls, the prayers during this time. She's been down there 3 weeks, but things have turned the corner and things are progressing, so it's hopeful she would that Al could be transferred to the Lamar's Hospital sometime later this week to continue his treatment and therapy. Well, I'm excited. We've got an exciting week this week with our new pastor coming, Pastor Brian Hoffman, and he's closed on his house, and he should be coming Tuesday, Wednesday, in that time frame, and we would kind of be on alert. He may need some help on this end with some things, so be on the alert. You may be getting a call to help out with that, but so we're super excited about that. We're looking forward to that immensely, and then I would really like to express our appreciation as a congregation to Dan Tracy for filling in these times of vacancy. And it's been a pleasure, Dan, to get to know you and your wife. And some of the people knew you, I think, but some of us got to know you more. And so we'll look forward to hopefully crossing paths in the future. But thank you for so much for your words. You've taught us a lot, and your preaching is very sincere, and we thank you for that.
Good morning. Our call from worship this morning comes from Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Stand and sing.
Thank you.
In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. That God who made the heavens and the earth and then sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins, that we can someday spend eternity with him, and gave us his Son's righteousness and sent his Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, that God welcomes you into his house this morning. Take a moment to greet one another. Confession. Lord, we have sinned without considering how much you love us. You see our sins more clearly than we can ourselves. Lord, you know when we are indifferent to your word, how often we forget to pray, the times we have come unwillingly to worship, and yet we turn to you when we are in trouble. Lord, you know when we are untruthful and when we think evil of others. You see our anger and unfairness to our friends. You know how hard it is for us to forgive. Forgive us and make us clean so that we can obey your call to take up our cross and follow you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have assurance that God indeed forgives our sin. The Bible tells us as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has forgiven our sins. But often we think to ourselves, can I trust that? How do I know that's true? Well, I'm just going to give you a few examples of God's faithfulness concerning his Son. Do you know that there are over 40 prophecies in the Bible concerning Jesus Christ as our Messiah? I'm just going to give you a few of them. The Messiah of Israel will be born in Bethlehem. He was. The Messiah of Israel would be a descendant of Jacob. He was. The Messiah of Israel will enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. He did. The Messiah of Israel will be betrayed by one of his friends. He was. The Messiah of Israel will be spit upon. He was. The Messiah of Israel will have his hands and his feet pierced. He was. The soldiers would gamble for his garments. They did. The Messiah would die before the second temple was destroyed. He did. Everything God had promised and foretold about his Son happened. That is the assurance that you and I have that indeed our sins are forgiven when we ask God. At this time, please sing.
Thank you.
Please join me in congregational prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you on this beautiful Sabbath morning. And thank you for your goodnesses to us. Father, we thank you that you watch over and you protect us. Father, we thank you for the showers of rain, for the sun. Father, we thank you that you've answered our prayers and that crops are growing. And as we saw this morning driving in, some are already starting to turn. We see the promise of a harvest, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you are in control. We thank you that you put breath in our lungs this morning, that you put us here in the United States of America where we can come and worship you openly and freely, and we thank you for that. But Father, we also come to you with needs. Father, there are some in our midst that are dealing with illnesses, sicknesses, that need you in a special way. Father, there are those that have lost loved ones, that are by themselves, and they need you in a special way. Please be with them. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is in control. We thank you that you are a God of order, and that you know what's going to happen before it even happens, and we thank you for that. And Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, again, into this world to give us an example of how to live our lives, and that he died on a cross, but he didn't stay there. He rose again, paid the sins, paid the sacrifice for our sins, and then you gave his righteousness to us, which we just cannot even comprehend the love behind that, but we thank you for that. And Father, we thank you that your Son took the time to teach his disciples how to pray as we pray now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And just a reminder to leave your offerings in the back if you have not done so already. And at this time, we will have our song of preparation. Our scripture reading for today comes from Hebrews 13:17. And we read, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your servant will not get in the way of the words you would have your people to hear today. Father, we thank you that you saw fit to write this book that gives us answers to questions that come our ways, that gives us guidance, that tells us how we are supposed to handle circumstances as they come. And we thank you for that. And Father, we pray that we will take the words that are spoken today through your servant, through guidance of your Spirit, and they will help and lead us in the months to come. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Here at Kelvin CRC in Lamar's, Iowa, you folks are about to start writing the next chapter of your church history. You have called the new pastor, Pastor Hoffman, to lead you, to guide you, to be your earthly shepherd. And I can say with pretty much confidence that he will not, and I repeat, he will not do everything the way your last one did. Nor should he. God has gifted men with different talents and different character. But how that chapter will be viewed in the decades to come by your children and your grandchildren is up to you folks sitting here today. You're about to enter into a marriage-type relationship with your pastor. And just like in any marriage, there's going to be a honeymoon period. For those of you that are married, you know what I'm talking about. But eventually, that honeymoon ends, and then the real work of marriage begins. So the question is not if that honeymoon ends, but when. And how will you folks respond to it? We read in James, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." James 1, 2 through 5. Notice what that verse says. It doesn't say if you have trials, but it says when. They're coming, folks, so you need to be ready. Satan will do whatever he can, and by any means, to destroy this relationship between you and your pastor. Satan enjoyed the fact that you folks were without a pastor, that you had nobody to lead and guide you for these months. But now, God has brought somebody to your side. And let's remember that Satan has been a liar and a deceiver since the beginning of time. Remember what he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. He twisted God's words. He twisted God's motivations for the things that he commanded. Did God really say you can't eat of any of these trees? Well, we know that's not what God said. God says, I give you all these trees to eat from, but one. But that's not how Satan turned it around. Then he goes, the reason God doesn't want you to eat of that tree is because then God knows you're going to be as smart as he is, and that you won't need him anymore. Twist what God said. God did that because he's a jealous God, and he doesn't want you to be as smart as him. Satan even goes as far as to accuse God of being a liar. Eve, surely you won't die. I know that's what God said, but trust me, you won't die. God just lies. Satan would rather that this church not have a pastor, not have an earthly shepherd to lead you. Satan wants you folks to be sheep without an earthly shepherd. But thankfully, God is a God of order, and he has gifted and called certain men to be pastors. He has gifted these men with certain gifts and insight into the Holy Scriptures, and he has called them into leadership. And that's where our text for today comes, talking about leadership. And again, we read in Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them,
For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Obedience is easy when it's convenient and it doesn't cost us anything. Let me give you an example. It's easy for me to obey the speed limit of 55 when I have plenty of time and I'm not in a hurry. But when I'm running late or I have something to do, that same 55-mile-an-hour speed limit becomes a challenge. And trust me, there are going to be times when it is easy for you folks to obey your new pastor. He does the things you like. He speaks in the tone you like. He dresses the way you think is appropriate. He doesn't move around too much up front. He sings the kind of music you like. The worship style is something that you like. 55? No problem. But what if he doesn't do the things the way you like? What if he changes the order of worship? What if he moves around too much up front? What if he always wears a suit and tie? Or what if he never wears a suit or a tie? What if he doesn't want to say the Lord's Prayer every Sunday? 55? It's becoming a problem. Obedience becomes a little harder. But isn't the same true if we're honest with our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ? It's easy to obey God when he asks us to do things we like and it doesn't cost us anything. 55 is no problem. But what happens when God starts asking us to do the things we would rather not do? Things become a little bit more difficult. Love your enemies, not just your friends. My enemies? The people I can't stand? The people I'm constantly fighting with? I'm supposed to love them? Really, Lord? Yes. Pray for those who persecute you. But Lord, you don't understand. They make fun of my Christianity. They make fun of my politics. They're bullies at school. They're constantly picking on me. I'm supposed to pray for them? Yes. Store up your treasures in heaven, not on earth. But Lord, I work hard for my money. Everybody else has a new car, a new house, go on vacations constantly. And besides, I tithe. But you really, Lord, you want me to store up my treasures in heaven? You want me to give to the poor, to the church, to the needy? To think of others, spend more time helping out? Realizing that those things get rewarded in heaven? But that's radical, Lord. That's not how America lives. Yes, that's what he expects. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. All of it, Lord? But I go to church on Sundays. We have devotions before dinner. I take 5 minutes and pray at night. All of my heart? All of my soul? All of my mind? You mean I got to be careful what I think, what I see? All of it? I do better than most. No, all of it. Love others as yourself. You mean I can't put myself first, Lord? You really want me to think of others first? 55? It's starting to become a problem, isn't it? And now we're not only to obey, but we're to submit. Uh-oh. That's a word none of us like to hear, especially in 2021. Submit. And the reason we don't like that word is because we don't understand it from a biblical concept. By definition, submit says accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. When we think of biblical submission, we all go to Ephesians 5, where we read, "Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her." I want to read to you something that I once read from Marriage Ministries. And it goes like this: "A husband's appreciation of biblical submission. For a husband, when his wife demonstrates a heart of submission in marriage, she is a pleasure to be around. The husband finds appreciation and admiration for her because she is one whom he can trust. As a result, he can feel at peace and content. He can trust her with his deepest desires and fears because he is not afraid of her scorning him, competing with him, or rejecting him. He can relax with her because he knows that even when he makes mistakes, she will be working with him to help him put them right. The husband can feel secure in himself that she will be working to minimize the consequences of his mistakes rather than trying to prove a point or rejecting him in some way. The man whose wife truly understands and practices biblical submission requires a greater sense of self-respect. He knows she respects him as a husband who can accept his responsibilities as leader in the home. He is confident that she respects him and she is not in any way trying to belittle him. A biblical submission in marriage is a wife making a choice not to overtly resist her husband's will. That is not to say she cannot disagree with him and that she cannot express her opinion. Indeed, a wife who practices submission is by definition a woman with strength of character. She will therefore usually have her own opinions and ideas about issues. These may often be different to the opinions of her husband, but she can express her opinions and ideals respectfully without belittling and without disrespectful confrontation. In fact, it might sometimes be wrong for her not to express her opinions. She is ordained by God to be her husband's helper, not his doormat. By expressing her opinions, giving advice, and offering suggestions, she will be an invaluable partner to her husband. End of quote. So just like in any marriage, you're going to have disagreements with your new pastor. You're going to have difference of opinions. You're going to have different thoughts on how things should be done. The question is, how are you going to deal with those? Well, Jesus gives us some advice. In Matthew 5, 23, he says, "Therefore, if you're presenting your offerings at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offerings there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offerings." And may I add here, and I know you're not supposed to add to Scripture, but I'm going to add, if you have something against your brother, sometimes your brother does not know you have something against him, but you know you have it against him. And I think this verse applies. We need to go to them and be reconciled. Well, easier said than done, but how do we do that? Well, Jesus gives an answer in chapter 18 where he says, if your brother sins, go and show him his faults in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you so that by the mouths of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. It's easy for all of us. And yes, I mean all of us, myself included. We like to have people on our side before we deal with a confrontation. We want to know that we're right, that we're not the only one that feels this way. It's not the biblical way to do it. That is Satan, at his best, trying to destroy the unity of this church. There are going to be times when your pastor is going to say and he's going to do things that you might not necessarily like or understand in his reasons. But shame on you. Shame on each one of you if you talk to others about that without talking to him first. It's not right for you to talk about him at the golf course. It's not right for you to talk about him at your place of worship or work. It's not right for you to talk about him to others around a Sunday afternoon meal at your home. This is Satan trying to destroy the unity of this church. Please don't fall for it. This is everyone's responsibility as a member of this congregation. But elders and deacons, ultimately, this is your responsibility. You guys are in leadership. We know of churches that are struggling today because the elders and deacons didn't take this responsibility seriously. And people started talking about a pastor. They got on sides, and it's now a mess. It's not easy, especially in a small congregation, when everybody's so close in relationship or friends, relatives. But gentlemen, this is ultimately your responsibility to make sure that this does not happen in this church. But why are we to submit? Why are we to be obedient to our leaders? For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Your pastor will stand before God Almighty one day and give an account for what he has said and how he has led you guys here at Calvin CRC in Lamars, Iowa. Your pastor has your souls, your eternal souls, as his number one responsibility. Just like as parents, we watch over our children, we love them, we teach them, and yes, sometimes we correct them. That's what your pastor does. That's what he's called to do. God has not called me into full-time ministry at this time. And for that, in some ways, I am very grateful. As Cheryl can testify, I don't sleep very well the night before I stand before you folks or anybody else. As Cheryl can testify, I get quite nervous. Realizing that what I say and how I say it, someday God's going to call me to an account for that. And he's going to do the same for your pastor. But he's going to do the same for you that are in leadership. And I'm not just talking about elders and deacons, Sunday school teacher, catechism teacher, youth leaders, even those that do preschool. Don't take your job lightly, because God doesn't. At that moment, you're in leadership. And God's going to hold you, you personally, responsible for what you did with that time, what you said, how you said it, where was your heart, where was your motive. According to this text, you're going to give an account. But your pastor is going to give account for what he says while he's here standing before you. Our text goes on to say, let him do this with joy and not with grief. For this would be unprofitable for you. Let him do it with joy. You folks, sitting here today, listening to my voice, it's up to you to make sure that this man feels appreciated
that you don't come to him just with concerns and complaints, but you pat him on the back once in a while, that you hold him up in prayer, that you tell him how much you appreciate him when he does the things that you appreciate. That's important. It says, let him do it with joy and not with grief. For this would be unprofitable for you. If your pastor is unhappy, if your pastor doesn't have the joy of the Lord in his heart, who loses? According to this text, it's you folks. It's unprofitable for you if the person standing before you, the person leading you, the person guiding you, doesn't have joy in his heart because you make him miserable. You're the ones that lose. Just remember that. So as you folks get ready to write the next chapter, do me a favor. Do it with your eyes open. Be excited that God has answered your prayers over these many months. Be excited that God's word assures you that God has a plan for you here at Calvin, CRC, and Lamar's. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. God has a plan for you folks. God has a purpose. And God plans on working those out for your good here at Calvin. So be excited that you will now have consistency in your pulpit. But please, take off the rose-colored glasses, realizing that there's going to be bumps in the road. And when you know these bumps are coming, you can take action to avoid them. You can swerve. You can miss those potholes. And you will have joy in this congregation. And God will be blessed. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that indeed you have answered the prayers of your servants, of your people here at Calvin. That, Father, over these months of searching and praying and waiting and wondering if you were ever going to answer their prayers. But in your timing, Lord, you have brought them a pastor. And we pray that you be with Pastor Brian Hoffman. Father, we pray that you watch over him as he travels this week. We pray for traveling mercies. Father, we pray that the transition will go smoothly. And Father, we pray that this congregation, that these people will be a blessing to him, and that he will be a blessing to this congregation, to this community. And Father, I'm excited for this church. I'm excited for these people to have a man of your choosing to lead and guide them. And Father, we look forward to the things that you are going to do for this congregation through this man. And we will remember to give you all the honor and the glory for that. In your precious name we pray. Amen. In response, we will sing, I Surrender All. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever and ever. And all of God's children said, Amen.